What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled for episode 11. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened. And if you are new, welcome to the table. We are FITG Rerolled, or Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. And we may not be in an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast will actually help you play. We are three DMs who roll on a list of themes and scenarios and work together to create a session slash campaign for you guys. With that, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Sam, your intro host for today.
I'm Malcolm, host number two today.
And I am David, the other host.
So guys, I have a question for you today. What would be your DM theme song for you? Like, if you had a theme song before you walked into every session, what would it be?
Oh, okay. I think, David, you want to take this one? I cut you off in the intro, so this could be...
I wrote this question, but I have no idea what my answer is yet.
I think I know. So there is this YouTube channel that does a lot of instrumental orchestral versions of modern-day songs. And I discovered this while running my first campaign. And I used it for the final boss fight of that campaign. And the song was Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. So, but in orchestral form, so it sounded really epic. So you just hear the horns go, and people are like, whoa, this sounds like, you know, like this is going to be like a big entrance for something. And then you just learn you're being Rickrolled, because there's no lyrics for it or anything. But you just get the whole thing of like, oh, it's that. And I feel like that's fitting to my DM style, where you're like, this is really epic. Oh, it's also a joke. But also, it's taking itself kind of seriously. And it's like this weird mix. And I'm like, yeah, that's about how I do it.
That's good.
That's great. I think we all know mine. I don't think I have to say it. But I will. For those who don't know, I also DM over at Bardic Inspiration Podcast as their DM. And, people know me as DM Mambo online, and that's in reference to the best song that's ever been written, sang, sung, danced to, played at a party, and that's Lou Bega's Mambo Number 5. So I think anyone who wants to create me a medieval fantasy version of that song, please do, and I will quickly switch my intro to the podcast to that. So here's me asking all you talented people out there to get me more Mambo Number 5. Please and thank you.
That's good. That's good, too. I don't have a great answer. I think the closest I can get would be an alternate version of I Can Show You the World by the great movie Aladdin.
Now, when you say alternate version, what kind of genre are we talking here?
Probably rock. Something slightly harder than the original song.
I mean,
song.
I think there's Pop Goes Disney, so it's probably been done.
I don't know. Pop Goes Disney kind of also, as we get off on a mini tangent about that, sometimes just does more modernization than it does, like, just, like, changing genres. Don't get me wrong. There's sort of, they'll rock up some songs, but it's a mixed bag is basically what I'm saying. But it might be worth a look. We gotta stop giving Disney free money, guys. They're not sponsoring us.
Disney, do you want to sponsor us? Great. Please do.
Disney, call us. Oh,
we'll be owned by Disney. Oh, boy. Yeah. That's pretty cool, though. I like that. I like our choices. They seem very fitting to our personalities.
We got to keep that branding alive, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of branding, I got a question for you, David. Shall we roll?
Let's do it.
Alrighty. Today, I'm rolling again my podcast dice of this nice light blue.
Nice.
I bought it for a podcast that the world may never see, nor should it.
I've got
my character, and that was so bad.
A really big D20 today.
Yeah, you do. It's like the size of your hand.
And I hope it doesn't break my table.
Love.
Let's see what happens.
Big D20s. I just want a really big set of dice. Like, give me dice as big as like the player's handbook any day of the week.
Oh, I guess we should be saying what we're rolling for. I'll be rolling, I believe I'm on scenarios this week.
Yes, and I'm on themes.
Sweet. So, let's roll.
Jeez, that was... Okay, perfect. That's a nat 1.
That's a 19, so we're on the opposite ends. So, 19 for scenario and a 1 for theme. Yeah. This is the part that we cut out later.
Bop, ba-da-doop-bop, ba-da-doop-bop.
Oh, this is an interesting combo. So we have, from the amazing Combi Zombie, our theme is Eternal War. And from Big Ben 220, our scenario is two kingdoms fighting over the same land / natural resource.
Well, that feels like it writes itself a little bit. At least these two flow together in a very sensible way.
Yeah.
But, David, when you first hear this, what do you think?
This could be like a very simple, just kind of clash between two nationalities, but I kind of want to do something a little weirder. So
I was about to say, simple on filling in the gaps?
Oh, Mambo, your hand is raised.
I heard weird, and I just want to throw out Ratatouille, where we have were-rats versus another lycanthrope type of people. So, you know, fighting over food. I just thought that could be very fun and interesting.
You know, I'm still going to suggest this because it still works even with Ratatouille. We're building off of that angle. The concept of whatever it is, the reason why this war won't ever stop is because neither side stays dead or keeps dying. Like, they just keep getting back up. Like, whatever it is, it's just like, oh, well, they're down. And then either they get rezzed, or they just naturally resurrect, or like whatever. You just have it be that it's like it keeps going on. But yeah, we got a few ideas floating around there. Ratatouille is a little strange, but I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
It just popped in. I've been craving some lycanthropes lately. I just love the concept, and I don't think it's used as enough.
And a lot of people go straight to the werewolf with
it. I know,
you're doing mice.
You got were-bats, too, now. You got were-boars. You can really pick any animal and customize it and mold it. I just thought were-rats versus, I don't know, what eats rats? Pretty much anything, right?
Well, rats eat rats, even, so...
Yeah. Yeah, it could be two rat tribes fighting over this golden apple.
The sacred cheese.
Or, yeah, golden cheese. You're right. My mistake. The eternal wheel of cheese. It just keeps spinning.
We've also set up, like, the Underworld movies, almost, in a different universe, where we got were-rats and... What would be the alternate for vampires?
Okay, well, the obvious answer is bats, but...
I don't know, Aarakocras we can go with, you know? I guess they could just be vampire Aarakocras, or...
If we have... Okay, so, alright. So, were-rats are large, right? By nature, they're like human-sized people with mouse features.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's important to note. I kind of like the idea of even not going full underworld necessarily, but just having lycanthrope wars where you have like the mice and then you can have, or the rats, and you can have like some other creature, whether that be like, there's were-tigers. The funny part is the were-rats are going to be just as big as the were-tigers. So it's not like a big disadvantage.
Yeah. That could be, so one of our kingdoms could be like these nomadic or tribal lycanthrope groups kind of banded together against whatever the second one is. I'm leaning towards like zombies, like some kind of intelligent zombie. I was about to say,
so what are the undead types? Does anybody like know the DM handbook like the back of their hand and can just whip that out, or
I can look it up pretty easily.
Okay, because I feel like if we use an undead type here, that'd be like a revenant. Revenants are intelligent, right?
Oh yeah.
So we can have like revenants versus the were-mice here, were-rats.
Undead.
And so it could be like they're both fighting over who gets to make more in their army out of humans.
Oh, okay. So, in this show called Castlevania that I very much like, there is a Netflix, you don't have to pay me, it's okay, I like your show a lot. the thing is, that happens in it, is there's a part where vampires are trying to take over, like, a whole country, they're trying to take over it, and they're like, what's the best way to do this? Because we don't want to scare the humans so bad that they stop reproducing and that we run out of supply of food for us. So the vampires are actually really strategic in the show, which I appreciate, because it's not something you very much see from it, but it's like, no, you have to think this through. You can't just take up all the supply, because then somebody wins, and it's not necessarily us. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of both sides being like, okay, there's like, you can have it be that, I know it says a war between two kingdoms, but you could have it be that there is a third kingdom that is just the victim here, getting like ripped apart by both sides who are like poaching their people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I need you for the undead. Well, I need you for the mice. And they like take them and make more of their people because they're like, we can't afford to lose. So that can be a thing. And it can be kind of like their battleground can be that other kingdom. So you still have the war between the two that's been going on forever. It's just that the people there can also just be like, oh yeah, we don't go out past like 10:30. That's when the were-rats come out. Of course you don't go. And they're like, what? You're just okay? And it's like, look, this has been going on forever, man. Like, if you're from around here, you know you don't go out on full moon with the were-rats. That's bad. Like, you can play to that and have it be that way if your characters don't automatically go, oh, we should leave this town. They're like, oh, hey. It's like, everyone's normal here. Oh, there's were-rats and stuff? What? Like, you can have it be more of a surprise and also still have some safety to it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go in more low level, because it's going to be a lot of revenants and were-rats or whatever we decide to put up against the were-rats. Because it's both sides. Not both sides, but the main kingdom that's being attacked is prepared for their attacks because it's had them happen since, like, forever, so.
I like the idea of using ghouls. Ghouls
are cool.
Semi-intelligent. They're, like, super focused on eating a lot of meat. They can make more of themselves. So that could be our thing that we're opposing.
Okay, well, that gives me an idea. Now we're getting a bit more to the good-bad side. Mm-hmm. What if the were-rats are the good guys? What if it's like a secret like level of security that the kingdom has is like these were-rats, and it's like, you're secretly our only hope is we send you out to fight these Ghastin ghouls. Because a Ghast is a more intelligent, more powerful ghoul that can typically controls an army of ghouls.
Yeah.
So they have that up there.
There's also the adult Draco Lich, which could be very fun if you want to go a large scale battle. I also very much like the idea that your players could possibly turn into a were-rat or some other were, whatever you choose. But yeah, I would say you would want to choose one side for them to join rather than give them an option of either or. I think this one right now, the way we've laid it out is just a bloody battle.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you can give options to solve it a different way, but I feel like right now would be a great, like, one giant battle.
So, gentlemen, have you ever seen the movie Alien vs. Predator?
No.
So in Alien vs. Predator, we all know Alien, we all know Predator. We put them together in a movie fighting each other. The problem that they found is the same problem we are finding right now, which is, okay, but if humans are involved, who do we, like, pick? So what they ended up doing is kind of reworking the Predator's origin a little bit, still to something that fits, but to get them to go, yeah, they're trying to stop, like, a global breakdown from the alien species.
Even though so they, like, started it.
Yeah, they do it for sport and for fun and stuff, but they're like, oh, well, we don't want it to get out of hand, so we're always going to stop it from getting out of hand. And so it's this big thing of, okay, you pick a side of the people who may not be the best people, but they're people who are like, look, we're trying to stop these, like, more animalistic, more dangerous things that cannot be reasoned with. In that way. And I don't know ghouls and ghast that well. I know a ghast can probably be reasoned with, but a ghoul definitely not.
Yeah, a ghast you can definitely communicate with. It's also, you know, your game. So if you want a ghoul that's smart, make that ghoul smart.
Mm-hmm.
Change up the stats and whatnot. But you can definitely make whatever you want. I think ghasts, you are correct, Malcolm, are smarter than ghouls. But whatever you choose, I think you're right. There needs to be an obvious option of who is going to be the quote-unquote good side on this battle to ultimately end this war.
I think this has to be, like, a common thing that takes... Like, not to make it the... Every 500 years this happens, but like to have it be like the, this is not necessarily annual, maybe it's like a decade, maybe it's a century, but it's like every once in a while this is what happened. Like the ghouls rise from whatever deep area they've been hiding in, whatever foul magic awakens them, and they come out and they're going to ravage the land and try to take over the world, essentially, or the kingdom, or whatever, to make it however large a scale you want it to be. But I think you need to have just a floodgate of ghouls, just constantly, like, waves of them.
Yeah.
Where it's almost unreasonable to the knowledge that if you run, this problem will not be solved.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so. I think that's great. I love the idea of it being, like, I think eternal, a lot of the times people are like, it happens 24/7 year round. I love the idea that maybe this internal part is just that it happens on this day every year, and it's to a point where now it's like becoming more and more of an issue. So instead of it originally being, say, on, it happens always on October 13th. Now it's happening on October 13th and November 13th. And now it's getting to a point that the two kingdoms that are fighting over this resource or whatever they're fighting over, which we'll get to after this part, they need this war to end.
Well, people are a resource. People
are the resources. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, I wasn't necessarily, I'll be completely honest, I had forgotten that part, which is the danger of the show, but...
that's why I was like, we'll bring back this point back up.
But... Yeah, good choice. But yeah, people being a resource is something that is still very much in line with these two. Because it's like both of them need people to end this, and maybe it's a specific task they need done, or maybe they're just like, hey, we know we have to hold the line in these areas, otherwise this will happen. So, like, and we've got enough people to hold the line here and here, but we need somebody out here, here, and here. You bring your friends, you bring your allies. This can be a good finale even to your campaign if you get to a point. You get to bring... I'm always a fan of bringing NPCs back on the big situation. A good end game moment, a good Avatar Day of the Last Sun moment, or not Day of the Last Sun, Day of the Solar Eclipse moment, where you have like everybody come in and it's like, wow, you haven't seen them in a while. And it's like, yeah, but they owe you a favor. And if there's ever a time to cash in, it's going to be now. So having something that's grand, but not so grand that it feels like it, something that could be quite literally the end of the world, but doesn't have to be that big if you didn't want it to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a very smart move. This definitely does seem like an end of the arc, end of a campaign type of battle. It doesn't have to be. If you wanted to grab this one and go, you just need two opposing sides. So you could even do vampire versus werewolf
if you're a bit more traditionalist.
Yeah, if you are. This is what we're here for. This is just spark inspiration. So we hope at some point you stop listening to us and start writing.
But then listen to us some more, because, you know, it's also, we like that too.
So I think to pull back a little bit from this big war, going back to, we talked about wanting secrets to be heavy in this. I think this could be, if it's an eternal war, they're fighting over the same land and resources. This could be just like a big city that has been kind of set up. And lurking in the shadows are these two groups that are fighting over both people they can eat and people they can turn to better fight the other ones. But if they're found out by the people, if it comes out that these two entities are kind of pulling the strings, that's very bad for both sides. So you could have, like, the agreement from, like, Harry Potter, where if humans learn about the supernatural, then it's bad. And both sides have agreed to that and want to kind of put down anyone who's trying to upturn that status quo. And so while they're fighting each other, they'll both kind of work together to get rid of any rogues.
Well, that's a good campaign setup. Because one of the things my brain instantly goes to when you say that, though, David, is the fact that, well, your players are going to be mortals. Your players are going to stumble upon this. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be both sides in an endless war, then just turning towards them and just being like, okay, we got to take them down. We're taking them down with us. And that can be the fun little thing of like, hey, we either have to recruit you or you got to die. There's no gray space.
Yeah, I think there might be a character who would take up that deal. But also you can work it so maybe they're the only ones you know about this or something like that. You should, as a DM, I don't think you should ever force your characters or like an affliction on your characters. Like, let them play their game. You're all there together to play. So never be someone who is just like, well, you are now a vampire, or you're now a were-rat.
Ghoul.
Or a ghoul. I mean, you had a cool backstory, but now you're just a ghoul.
And that could be something interesting, too. If this is like a big major trade hub in your world, and that's just something that happens in the background, your players stumble upon a nest of ghouls, and they kill them. And they're like, okay, that sucked. And then a ghast walks in and is like, you killed my people. But you're pretty skilled, so you want to work for me? And live forever?
Ooh, that would be interesting. Cool. That's interesting. I like that.
And it can really be totally player choice. They can have the ability to run into ghouls, or the ability to run into these like bands of lycanthropes.
So So either way, they're kind of hunting down people for the other side. They don't have to be changed into the other thing, too.
Yeah.
I think it depends on how they interact with stuff. Because, again, of course, if they're attacked by a nest of ghouls and they get bitten and they have their issues, that's one thing. But if it's they come across a nest of ghouls, they, you know, handle it, they destroy them, dead, kill them,
mm-hmm.
They then have the Ghast who comes out and goes like, well, yeah, but you should really be after, like, he's like, did you know that the Jarl in charge is actually, like, a were-rat? That's who you should be concerned about. Those things are unruly. And you're like, but you're like, and he's like, I know what I am, but I can talk and I'm reasoning with you right now. Do you know how intelligent were-rats are? Are they intelligent? Can you trust them? And it's like, all right. So you can even have like a sense of propaganda from both sides being like, oh, you can't trust ghouls. He just wants more people for his army. He's basically the Night King. And he's like, well, am I? If I'm willing to reason with you, am I that bad?
Sorry, this just reminds me, like, you could just have a Romeo and Juliet scene where one were-rat falls in love with a ghoul or a ghast, and they're just trying to make peace in the city, and then your players have to help them get together, and if you don't, you know, the city turns into turmoil, and people end up dying, and I think you could have a lot of fun that way as well.
Okay, taking it from this Romeo and Juliet angle, because that is very interesting. What you could do is have both sides start off human, or whatever races they are. So you have it start off with, like, you know, you have your elf or whatever, and your human, or your elf and your orc, and or whatever. And you're like, okay. And then one gets bitten... during one of the ghoul attacks, one gets bitten by a ghoul, one gets, like, recruited by the were-rats, and it's like, oh, no, this is even worse, because they didn't choose, like, again, it's that Romeo and Juliet thing of, like, they didn't choose for this to happen, but now it's already happened, and it's like, well, I can't heal. You can even have it if you want to go even sadder. Go ahead and say it, Mambo.
You got Radio and Gouliet is what the old pun noggin came up with.
So, and that is the episode title. Thank you.
Take that train you were going on, Malcolm, and derail it.
But no, that was brilliant.
We'll bring it back on. Sorry.
That is perfect. So no, now I have names to call them. So Radio, before he becomes Radio officially, is gonna have. So Juliet, or Gouliet in this case, gets attacked by ghouls and is slowly turning into a ghoul, because that process is not instantaneous. It takes time. Like any of the other inflictions in D&D, they don't happen overnight. You don't just become a vampire, you don't just become a zombie, mummy, etc. Ghouls take time. So you get to see him, and then he goes like, oh, I'm gonna go join the army, or the Night's Watch, or the whatever. And you go off, he goes off, and that's when he gets recruited by the rats, and they're like, hey, so I hear you got a problem with ghouls. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get them for what they did to my girl. And it's like, all right, cool, we know the way to fix that. And then you have fun NPCs who you can actually talk to, because both of them can still kind of have their minds right, where they're like, this isn't what we got into this for. So you can meet them anywhere along their journey. You can meet them in the human form. You can meet them when they're completely on opposite sides. You can meet them when they're partway through, where it's like Juliet, Gouliet's down, but the Romeo is still not Radio yet. So you have these times where you can see them in there and go, oh, okay. And pop in and go, oh, what do you need? And it's like, well, actually, I'm going after the ghouls because they did this. And it's like, oh, okay. And that can also influence your players on where they go, depending on what story they hear of this part of the story. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I like that. I think that's a very nice way to possibly descale this if you're not looking for a large battle. but also give the opportunity for that to emerge from how your characters play. Because, you know, some people don't like combat and some people love it. So I think it's always nice to give that option. Now this is like the path we've gone down.
Also, obviously, there is a sense of political means within both sides. Like we said, we have a Ghast running the ghouls, so he's intelligent enough to be reasoned with. Mm-hmm. You can maybe talk to him, figure out what strategies and things he's after, what he wants to do. What is his ultimate goal when he gets all those people? Stuff like that.
Well, he definitely wants to keep eating people. So he wants the people to populate this town still. He just wants to be able to eat them freely.
Right. He doesn't want them to desert the town or call in. Maybe you have a holy knight order or a group of paladins or clerics to come in and purge the town of him and his people. He wants the ability to just, you know, be in a buffet. Sleep and eat in his buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you could even have these lycanthropes just taste terrible to them. So it's also a war of this other group kind of polluting his food source.
You know, there is...
I was going to say, that's a very interesting concept of once you become a lycanthrope, you just taste terrible to the undead.
Yes, I like that. It kind of reminds me... Again, I told you guys when we took over the podcast, there'd be a lot more references. Van Helsing has a thing where they, the movie with Hugh Jackman, mm-hmm. which is great. I believe we discussed it on here before. But there's a part in it where they have the vampires, and they go, after Van Helsing kills one of the vampires, they're like, what did you do? And he's like, I thought I was helping you guys. They're like, no. They're like, vampires only kill what they need to survive. Now they're going to kill for revenge. So you could have it be that it's like the ghouls being like, look, I could just massacre town after town. I'm being reasonable and taking only what I need for me and my people. And then if that's a problem, well, I don't know what you want me to do. Oh, like, see, it's the thing of survival in a way.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to.
Oh, no.
You froze, so I thought you were done.
On my end. No worries.
I think that's great. I think it could even be that maybe they're just killing criminals or people who are doing wrong in the town. So a group of bandit comes to purge the town and raid it. And they're the ones who are stepping up and fighting and killing them off. And it's like almost like an honor to be taken by the ghouls because you're helping your town stay safe. Or they go and they take the really old people who are at death's door and they're like, I just want my life to mean something again. And he's like, I know where it can mean something. Come, follow me. So that's a great idea to play along with that is maybe they are in this town at least. Maybe you play it off as like this town's like the greatest town or city ever. There's no thieves. There's no murderers. It's a very safe town to be in. And your players go there for like a rest, right? They just had this long battle or whatever. And then they find ghouls and then they're like trying to stop them. But people aren't really talking about the ghouls for them at all. And so it's very hard to find. And then you have Radio who is like, psst, I need your help. My true love is this, and this, and I need help finding her, and we want to be together, but they won't let us. Like, what can we do?
Okay. Because the other thing that you were saying there that I thought was interesting, especially because parties tend to do a lot of crime, because they're like, fantasy world, crime, yay! That's just what happens. I don't know what it is. Something about no rules that makes everybody just go crazy for a little bit. So if you have them go there and do, like, crime, that's a good way to automatically introduce them to the ghouls, because the ghouls are going to be like, oh, here's another group of people we can just bring in. But with the radio thing and making it that they only attack criminals, who's to say that it... like, of course, I think after a while, word would spread, so it would get, like, stricter and stricter. Like, these laws start to be followed more and more to the T. So you can have it be, like, a picture-perfect town and have it be, like, nobody even litters because that's, like, that would be the most crime that's been done by a person. And then if that means the ghouls can take you. if that's what happens. And the were-rats can be more of the kind of more of, I still picture them very knightly, so probably like a temple guard or somebody, who are just people who are like the actual law, who are just like, well, we're, in case they decide to come up again, we're gonna get them. This could be an eternal war that's not necessarily going on right now. Like, it's not a truce, but it's like, it's at stalemate. And your party can be the thing that either incites it or just ends it, mm-hmm. which is another option as well.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. I think, yeah, the eternal war part, I think, could also just be the struggle of morality of is it right to end this war on our part? Like, if we're going, like, if the ghouls are actually, and maybe even the were-rats are doing it as well, saving this town from bandits and whatnot, and in exchange, they're willingly giving lives of the criminals or the elderly or whatever, terminally ill people who can't be cured. And the party gets there, and they're like, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It could just start a cycle of who's right here. Because this town is prospering, it's safe, and no one's really... I mean, people are giving their consent for this. So is it right for the party to come in and just blow up this... Or not blow up, but you know what I mean. Stop this city from running the way it's been running for centuries, secretly behind the scenes, having these two organizations either work together or opposing each other over different turfs and food source.
So in this scenario, the were-rats would basically be like freedom fighters, where they're trying to go in and get rid of the strict totalitarian rule of the ghouls.
Which is way the opposite of what I thought ghouls would be. But I guess this ghast was super cool and was like, you know what? People aren't going to like that. I'm going to try to eat them. So I'm going to eat the bad people that nobody likes. And it's not going to take up any space anymore. Like, you could even have it be, if you wanted to get really conspiratorial and weird, that, like, you have a king or you have whoever in the town who runs it. And it's like, oh, no, I made a deal with the ghast a long time ago. He doesn't take anybody. Mm-hmm. And if you really wanted to add political intrigue and weird stuff, you could always have it be that he's starting to break that rule. And starting to just take some people on the side. And it's like, oh no, he would never take Gouliette. That would never happen because she didn't commit any crimes. That's not something that he do. And he's like, no, that's what happened. I know that my girlfriend didn't commit any crimes, but the ghouls took her, the ghouls attacked her, and the ghouls bit her. So that's not fair. And it's like, well, she must have done something. And you could even have that be kind of the thing of,
you can even make her
the ghouls starting to step out.
The princess.
Ooh.
If you want, if you're going to have a king who's made a deal with these ghasts and ghouls, Gouliette is the princess, and he is still in denial of this, and Radio is like, no. Like, the were-rats, we're good guys. We're trying to break the corruption of these ghouls that have this city on lockdown. Yes, they're doing something good, but they're also doing something bad on the other side. So we need you to stop this now. And then that's when he can turn to the party to be like, look, we need you on our side. You can't tell anyone about us. We need to go.
It's really good.
I like this. This is a very dynamic version of Romeo and Juliet. There's a lot of angles to come at this from, so I'm very happy with it. Not at all where I thought we'd go with Eternal War, but I'm very glad that you brought up Ratatouille in the beginning, Sam, because I would not have... We would not have gotten were-rats and ghouls. Like, we would have... I don't know where we would have gone, but this is...
Well, it all's thanks to David saying he wanted something weird, and my mind being like, Ratatouille would be a great one for this.
You know, there is actually, I think there is a game where you play as mice. I forgot what it's called.
There is, but
if you want to do, yeah.
Mice and Mystics.
It's something.
It's not Mouse Tape. Mice and Mystics. Is it? Yes. So if you wanted to play it in that, if you just wanted to have... And then you can still keep the were-rats of it, and the other thing would just be that there are actual rats in this version.
Yeah.
But yeah, the overall, I think that, yeah, this is one where it's got to be, you have a lot of... Okay, so we have some social encounters here. We have different ways this can go. We should kind of probably kind of consolidate which version we want to actually go with. Then there was a long pause where nobody knew what to say.
I like the Radio and Gouliette version.
I mean, there's a few versions of that is what I'm saying. That's all.
Oh, I liked, you know, you have to save the princess or a nobleman's daughter or something and reconnect her with her love before they both end in internal, or they, I guess they both fight in an internal war with each other over people.
Now, do ghouls lose their sense of self the more they exist or not?
They kind of lose it as soon as they're made. But
yeah,
this is your own world. You can change that.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to do this, you can even make her into a gas and still call her Gouliette.
Look, we did it for the pun. We all know.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pun. Just play your game.
But yeah, making her a gas. Also, I think ghasts and ghouls, unlike vampires or other things, don't take effort. They just kind of spawn. So this would just be one of those lucky spot. You guys can't see air quotes. You're on the podcast listening apps. But there are air quotes here. Lucky situations in which the person just so happens to become what they need to be for this story to make sense. So
yeah, and I think it's okay that we leave it this one wide open, because if you want to use this as an overarching theme for your campaign, then you can. If you want this as a quick go and grab for a one shot when you're, you know, asked to DM last minute, or you just forget you're supposed to DM, or you can't even think of what the next session is and you need some time or something, like, just this is just a nice typical save someone political distress situation.
You could even have it be that you don't want to stop the war. You just want to get those two out of there. And just be like, hey, we got to help these two get together and escape before the war really breaks out. Because you could still have it be on the ticking clock of this is the time that they have to be set by. Mm-hmm. And then that's when everything breaks out. Like, yeah. The full moon, the harvest moon, the blue moon, whatever. Honestly, moons are very important. I don't know why, but do something with that. And we have like a limit, and that way you have time. You have to get them out before, and that gives some extra pressure.
Yeah, that's great. Perfect. And then you can even have, if they're fighting over the city, the were-rats are trying to liberate the city from the ghouls and the gas because they don't have to eat people to survive. You can have them eat people to survive, but being a lycanthrope, you don't have to eat people. You can eat just regular food. And the gas are trying to keep their shadowy stronghold on here because, well, this is a real easy place for them to feed and grow their numbers. And if you want this to be a longer campaign, you can have a bigger boss who's has multiple cells in different cities. So now your players are just freaked out every time they go into a city. Are we going to encounter this, or is this going to happen, or do we have to look for this organization? And if they join up with them,
that's a really cool idea. I like that it being kind of spread out, because we've talked about the people being the resource, but there could be something else. Ghouls, when they're brought back, they're kind of they lose their personality, lose a lot of what made them them. You could have in this campaign some kind of material that's naturally recurring that kind of makes ghouls smarter when they're made. And that's what the Ghast has been going around and collecting and fighting for and building these cities around. So it kind of spawns randomly, but there are now civilizations built around them. So the Ghast can collect this resource, and he's established kind of the civilization around it. while the Rerwats are fighting him, they don't necessarily know that they're trying to destroy his chain of supply.
Okay, I like that, because then you kind of have more of a... So what I've heard a lot about Curse of Strahd, which is a D&D module, is that the scary part of Strahd is not the part that he's a vampire. That it's the fact that he's a vampire who's used his vampirism to run a town and then slowly take more and more over it with the different elements he needs, because now he's got political power, now he's got economic control, now he's got all these other things, and it's like, that's really what the goal is. The goal's not, I am a vampire, ooh, spooky, spooky, scare. It's to be like, oh, yeah, and on top of all of that, that I can control the cities, I control the soldiers, I control whatever, I'm pretty hard to kill. So you have this element of the gas kind of doing somewhat of the same thing of, I have control of this city, I have control of this area, and then it's, okay, yeah, we break away the city, we take away your city and stuff, I still have an army of ghouls, and I'm still aghast. So you're still going to have to fight those things. Yeah. Like, so that's within itself is its own challenge.
Yeah, and you can also soup up the ghast, too, yeah. So it's not just...
A super guest, if you will.
And yeah. if you actually succeed, this thing that I've been using to keep the guest smart and in control is going to be gone. And they're going to be a big problem for you.
Then you have kind of a Night of the Living Dead situation. Yeah. Where it's just like, oh, you've taken away not only the guest controlling them. And that could be the guest argument, which is like, did you want a bunch of animalistic monsters running on the loose, or do you want things that only occasionally feed and don't just constantly think about ravenous hunger, wrecking town after town? He's like, I am the answer to your big menace problem. You're just looking at it the wrong way. I just have a high fee, which is that you sometimes give me people.
Mm-hmm. And I mostly take the bad ones anyway. It shouldn't bother you.
Yeah, and then right, you could have... You could have that thing of, like, again, that mostly, where it's like, but you sometimes get, it's like, who doesn't get their job wrong sometimes?
Everybody it's makes fine. Mistakes. We're all almost human.
Almost Human's also a great alternative title.
Almost Humans.
But, yeah, the... I love that. I love this idea of, like, again, I love the idea of a reasonable cast being intelligent enough to go, like, look, I'm not going to do something that ends up getting me dead. And you can have it be if you're like, why is a ghast this intelligent? Well, his human form was very intelligent, and I believe ghast hold on to most of their intelligence, if not all of it, when they die. So you can have it be a person who was studying the ghouls or whichever, who gets attacked, and then just becomes this ghast and goes like, I know what I can do. I can solve this problem. And can kind of just gather all the ghasts together. So it can be, this can be like the ultimate kind of hive mind concept of like, no, this is not just a ghast. It's the ghast. It's the one who's like in control of almost all the ghouls of the area going like, hey, yeah, there's a lot of ghouls around here. You don't even know about them because I'm keeping them underground. I'm keeping them away from everybody. I'm keeping everybody happy. I'm keeping the peace.
Mm-hmm. You know.
And it's the were-rats who are going to mess this up if they kill me, which they want to do because they're just like, ah, it's a ghast and he's using our king. And it's like, well.
Like, ah, it's a ghast. He's eating people.
If you want to do a real curveball, you can make Gouliet the queen of the city, and she, when she died as the queen like years ago, she came back as a ghast, just, you know, spur of the moment, or maybe she had jewelry of this mineral or something or material around her when she passed away, and that transcended her soul into a ghast form. And Radio, who was in love with her the whole time, maybe not her husband, but someone who was always in love with her, decided to become a were-rat to be able to stay alive with her. And he knows her secret of being a ghast, where everyone, just like periodically, she just becomes the queen again. You know, like she takes a different name each time, but she's the one controlling everything, and she's going. She keeps getting political power in like different quote unquote reincarnated lives, although she's the same person. And he's been staying alive this whole time to try to bring her back to him, but he also like doesn't want to die or something, you know. So his way of fighting that is taking down the ghouls to get closer and closer to her.
This is an option.
I like it.
Yeah, just an option. Just you know, you could just describe her as like a fair-skinned you know, person type thing.
And this guy,
Gas typically have blue skin is the only thing.
Yeah, so then she's a water Ganassi, you know, or an air Ganassi.
Oh. But it's or even a maybe high-powered gas.
A drow or something like that.
So they'll definitely have magic as well. And this could just be a disguise spell.
Oh, that's yeah, very true.
And if we make her a wizard...
That you can even have enchanted jewelry with the disguise spells in it. That's the way I always used to play that, is to have different characters be like, I want the disguise spell. And it's like, someone's going to have a ring of disguise self. And it's like, you're only going to get one form, so I hope you choose it well. But that's...
If she's a higher level wizard... She could make, like, substitutes of herself, disguise them, and then hold actual coronations, where she passes the crown from herself to herself to keep up the illusion.
This is nuts. This is hurting my head. I pass the crown from me onto me.
Just an idea.
No, I like it.
No, it's good.
And then that's the way you end this internal struggle, is you finally bring them together and they kiss and they live happily ever after.
Because that's how Romeo and Juliet ends, kids. It's completely happy. There's no negative consequences to their unfortunate interactions.
I mean, there is a kiss.
That's, well, yeah.
Oh, you could even...
I mean, I'll admit...
Okay. You could even come up with, like, a cure for the lycanthropy so that he can go back to being human. And you can have a cure for the ghoul or the ghast so that Gouliet can go back to being human, but have the rat take it first, and then the smell of this human flesh drives her insane and she kills him.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking that you could have it be that, since there's an eternal war going on, you could just have it be that you're like, okay, we'll be right back. We're going to go get the cures. But there can be a fun thing of like, you have to give this in the right order. you can't, you don't mess this up. But yeah, I personally, if I ran this, I'd probably go much more with a darker outcome, not necessarily humorously dark, but one where it's like, hey, you named it. I mean, come on. It's. I almost said Romeo and Juliet. That's not right. Radio and Juliet. And so it's got to be a sense of like, you try to get them together, but there's going to be the war in the way. And whether or not you get them out of it will be very difficult. I don't think it can be an easy thing to break. I think it's easier to just pick a side in the war and just go like, hey, maybe we could sneak a person out in the meantime. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that if you choose to follow, I think the best endings are the ones you have to work for. So if it's a really good, like, oh, that's so sweet ending, it's got to be one that you fought for to get, because it's got to be like, and man, they almost had us with Juliet back there, but luckily she's intelligent enough to know not to attack these people when we put the disguise self stuff on her. When people started to get suspicious of us, we were just like, we're in a carriage ride, we're an adventuring party, and we're like we ran off with them, and. It turned out okay, but it has to be a thing where you worked for it. I don't feel like you can just be like, hey, we came in and we figured it out and good vibes. But then again, that's my DMing style. I don't like, I will give people happy, endings. I will give them the happy, like, good job. You did it right off into sunset, but it's gotta be after, like, you fought for you it. So, I don't know. But yeah, I do like this. I do like these in general. I think we've got something special here, something that would definitely be fun to play.
All right, should we move to scenario and recap?
Yes.
Who's doing that this week?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm on the synopsis, and I believe...
Synopsis, excuse me.
Sam, you're on the recap.
Recap. All right. Well, David, I'll give you some time to think about that synopsis, and we'll kick into the recap. All right. Just a refresher for you all. Our theme was Eternal War, and our scenario was two kingdoms fighting over the same land / natural resource, correct? Awesome. So your players find themselves in a city that is very prosperous and doing very well. They eventually meet either a group of Gas or a group of were-rats who are fighting each other over the resource itself, would be the city, each with their own ideas of how to run and use the people inside of the city. You meet a were-rat by the name Ratio, who is searching for his long-lost love of Guliet, and your party has to decide how they're going to end the conflict of between these two conflicting organizations. Are they going to allow them to win and eat all the people if they're going to go with the ghouls? Or are they going to help liberate the city? And whichever you choose is up to you. You can have this as a long arcing theme, or you can have this as a nice little short one shot. Probably two shot, honestly. Let's be real. When is a one shot really a one shot?
I mean, when it goes on for 5 hours.
Does that give you enough time, David?
I think so. I've got two in mind.
Roll that dice, or just do them both.
Yeah, we're done with two.
Okay. Your party finishes their night of kind of drunken celebration. You recently completed a big quest to clear out a bandit cave, and you're turning it in this nice, big, prosperous town. Together, you stumble through the streets headed back toward your hotel for the night. When you hear a scream in the air, you follow the sounds and end up in a dark alleyway where these pale and bluish-skinned creatures are tearing someone limb from limb. They notice you, but don't really come your direction. They continue to eat this person, and just as they're about to finally kill them, from the shadows this rat-like person comes out and starts scuffling with them. You join in to protect the innocent person to find out that this is a were-rat who has been working to kind of subvert the rule of these ghouls. The ghouls are in charge of the town. Will you help?
All right. That's good.
I love that.
Okay, so one thing I have to add on, which I'm very disappointed with us by, it's nobody's fault. We didn't make Master Splinter an NPC for the were-rats. And it's something that instantly, when you were talking about a rat coming out from the shadows, I was like, oh, we could have had to be Master Splinter and him being like raising a bunch of people to fight back against the ghouls. Kind of like Seven Samurai. I like this. I think this is going to be interesting. I think this would be really fun. I think there's enough space to go about. But yeah, I think that having it be that you have these different areas to go, if you want to go straight war, if you want to go more social, if you want to go more political, I think we provided a good amount of space for this concept where you could do a bunch of things. If you want to go more silly, if you want to go a bit more serious, it all depends. So and then the fun part is, guys, we made a campaign that's completely canon. Like, you can actually play it with all the stuff that already exists in the thing. I think we do this a lot more than I think we think, but still, it's weird because I don't feel like it happens a ton. At least, maybe that's just me.
No, I think this was a good one. I would put this in my game right now.
Hey there, thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps. Our theme music is Today by Limby off of their album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more from them at limby.bandcamp.com or on their actual play podcast, Bombarded. That's Limby, spelled L-I-N-D-B-Y. And if you want to hear more from your host, well, you can find me, Malcolm, at The Ruler of Rhyme.
I am at DM Mambo 5.
And you can find me at Daedra 18, that is D-A-E-D-R-A 1-8.
And you can follow the show at FitGD&D or on our Discord server. We are always looking for new themes and scenarios to add to our list. The show is edited by our beloved audio gremlin, Andrew Brown, and you can follow them at Nubinator 912. Lastly, we are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast, and you can learn more about us at obtuseaudio.com. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes, if that's what you think we deserve, but we hope you do. All right, thanks, have a great day, and be good to each other.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.